about that alabaster box and that Mary came to the Lord and just worshiped him and broke that alabaster box and poured out that wonderful ointment and honored him. And that's amazing because I'll be talking about Mary of Bethany tonight. But thank you for that special. What a great, great blessing that was. And Vicky, just thank you for that special as well, that offertory and then playing along with Kate. Well, let me just say this. First of all, I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that God has given to me. I want to say thanks to my wife. You know, when God called me up here really over 10 years ago, we were able to get here 10 years ago. It was March 20th. But when he calls a man, he also calls his wife. And way back in the day when we first met at Bible College and getting to know her, I knew that she was already resigned to the Lord. She was already yielded to him. And so it was just great that the Lord brought us together. And I'm so grateful for my wife because she's always been alongside me and she's always been the greatest of help. And it's been a blessing to work together. I mean, we've worked together not just these past 10 years, but even before that, for many, many years together, and it's just worked out so well. The Lord has, made that chemistry work great. Being married now 42, it's going to be 43 this later here in the spring, just a couple months. So I'm just so grateful because I certainly couldn't do any of this without her, and I totally mean that. And then my family, my kids that the Lord gave to me and to us, I'm so grateful for them. It was great to come here 10 years ago, and we had Hannah before she got to meet. Before, there was no Ezra in the picture, but I'm so glad Ezra came into the picture not too long after that, but it was just great, those memories, seeing that U-Haul truck. I think, you guys are all trying to render me an emotional mess before I even start here today with my message, but I'm asking the Lord to uphold me. So I'm just grateful for just so many of you, all of you. Thank you. You know, there's just so many great memories. If I start to say one, then I feel like I'm leaving out. And I know there'll be more opportunity for that. But I just want to say thank you. I love you all. And you guys are such a blessing to me. And we just work together, don't we? I mean, we put up with each other in so many ways. I know you have to put up with me in so many ways. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for this milestone. And the only reason it has happened is because of the Lord. So I want to do my best to just say it's all him. It's all what he has done in our lives. And he gets all of the praise because, you know, I mean, the Lord knows. He knows us. And I just think about, 10 years, that is a milestone. And I'm so grateful for that. But I think about my pastor, Pastor Rick Nichol, who'll be with us. He'll be our keynote speaker. I'm excited about that. For our missions conference, and he's in his 40th year, so he's just run circles around me, and I'm just grateful for him. I think about, Brother Jordan, you'd probably be getting close to 40 as well, and Brother Jordan came here with his wife Edith, so precious, such a sweet lady, and the Lord took her a couple years ago now, I think it's been a couple years, and, you had been pastoring 30-some plus years. If you'd have still been out there with Edith, and obviously you couldn't, you probably weren't too far from that as well. So I'm grateful for the 10, and I want to just keep going as many more as the Lord allows me to. But it's all because of him, so I'm just grateful for him. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to, it's already noontime. This is crazy. All right. Oh, well, we're going to get a little overtime today maybe, huh? And so we go to Luke chapter 19, and this is great. This is just a great day. Luke chapter 19, this message is entitled, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you see that verse in verse 38. We'll be reading the verses that lead up to that. Verse 38 speaks about, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, okay? Next Sunday is Easter. and everything that happened with the Lord Jesus Christ, and in particular, his resurrection, it's the basis of our faith, right? It's the basis of our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14 says this, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if there be, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain," Paul said. "And your faith is also vain." But then he gets to verse 20 and he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So it is a wonderful thing to be saved, to know and believe, to know that that Jesus Christ is our risen Savior. It's a wonderful thing to know that, man, he is my risen Savior. He is mine. But very shortly before the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for the sins of the whole world, we have recorded for us in his word numerous things that took place in that last week, which is called the Passion Week. And what started off that Passion Week was what took place 1 week before his resurrection. As Brother Ray said, this is Palm Sunday, all right? When they took those palm branches out and they waved him as he was heading down that road on that ass, as we read in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. So the Lord Jesus Christ is just about to enter the city of Jerusalem. And not long before that, he had gone through Jericho. So we're right here in Luke 19, and earlier in the chapter, and even just before that, you'd see it in Mark, you'd see where Bartimaeus received his sight again, all right, in Jericho. And then we saw how Zacchaeus got saved, all right. Several weeks ago, I preached on Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus got saved. So he's very, very close to going to the cross. And right here, he's a week away. Not long before, again, he had gone through cities of Bethphage and Bethany, and he ascends up to the Mount of Olives as he approaches Jerusalem. And again, there's that prophecy which must be fulfilled with his entrance into the city. And so we take a look at verses 28 and 29 here in Luke chapter 19. And it said this, "When he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. What a blessing it is that you have done here in this church, in your church. And we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of it. Thank you that we're members of the body of Christ. What a great thing that is. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to fellowship with one another, that we can be a blessing to one another, that we can sing hymns unto you, that we can open up your precious, perfect book. And so we thank you. Thank you again that today is a special day. I thank you for the years you've allowed us, my wife and I, to be here. And then, of course, Hannah in those first few years, and then now in these last several years with Ezra, and now Piper and Maddie. What a blessing. And then, Lord, all of the saints here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you for the opportunities that you've given to us. And we thank you, Lord, for this is a great milestone. But we want to give honor and praise to you, because you're the one that deserves all of the credit, all of the glory, and we want to give it to you, Lord. And so we thank you for the opportunity here this morning that we can gather together. We ask your hand to be upon the service. We pray, Lord, that it would be honoring and befitting of you, that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Lord, we pray that nothing would be said or done without that wouldn't be pleasing unto you. So we pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. I pray for if there's anybody here without Christ, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, would you draw us closer to you? And we pray again that you would be glorified and magnified in all of this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this first thing I bring forth is a picture or a scenario, a picture or a scenario of what could have been for Israel, all right? What could have been. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he's drawing close to Jerusalem, and as he has done so often for his people, He lays out a picture for them. He lays out a picture for them. So he sends two of his disciples to find a colt. In verses 30 and 31, it says, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. So as they go and find what they find, you can't help but see the Lord Jesus Christ deity again. Just in the way that this all played out. I'll read verses 32 through 34. It says, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, just like he said, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? What are you doing? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. Now, when does that ever work? All right? They didn't know these guys. They just knew where the Lord directed them. And there was this colt that was tied, and they were to take it. And then the owners were going to say, why loose ye him? And, well, the Lord hath need of him. You know, that's never worked for me. If I went ahead and went across the street and got in somebody's BMW and he'd already had the keys in the car and they said, what are you doing? The Lord hath need of this. It's not going to pass. All right. The Lord was all over this and he was in on it. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ deity, that he is God. He knows all things. And so now, in the spirit of the fulfillment of Zechariah 9 and verse 9, that's what we read earlier. That verse again was, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And the Lord plays out what very well could have been. Verses 36 through 40, we're still here in Luke chapter 19. In verse 36, it says this, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They didn't like what they were hearing. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And that was because it was prophesied. It was prophesied from that verse that we read, which was penned out some maybe 485, you know, roughly 500 years before from Zechariah, that prophecy that Christ would come into Jerusalem, meek and lowly and riding upon an ass. And so those Pharisees, hey, tell your disciples to kind of calm it down. And he said, it's part of the prophecy. If they don't, then the stones, somebody's going to have to cry out and praise me. He says, the stones will do it. What a great prophecy that is. So this was done in order that prophecy was to be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled right at this time. What is remarkably sad about this is the fact that the Lord knew that in truth, the multitude of Israelites would not receive him as their king. They would not receive him as their king. How disappointing is that? How saddening is that? We've all faced rejection to some measure, but folks, we've never faced anything close to what the Lord Jesus Christ experienced. You just think about the greatest amount of rejection that you have ever felt. The sting of rejection is never pleasant in any situation. But you think about the time that you were most disappointed because of rejection. Well, multiply that so many times what the Lord Jesus experienced. It says in John chapter 11, we know that verse, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so now we see how things have truly played themselves out. We've come back to reality now, and we see the second thing, and that is Israel's rejection. Israel will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 41, and it says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city." And what did he do? He wept over it. He wept over it. We see him weeping over the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 23 and just read a few verses. And you can certainly turn there, Matthew chapter 23, and verses 37 through 39. And this is heartbreaking. God loves his people, but they wouldn't love him back. And he says in verses 37 through 39, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." You wouldn't have anything of it. He says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." His remorse is seen by his statement as we come back to Luke chapter 19 and verse 42. "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace." He's saying, "Oh, the things that could have been yours, Israel. The things that would have been yours, that you could have had." Have you ever seen something just thrown away? Something very, very special? Something that was something that you embraced, just seeing it go away? Jeremiah preached to the Jews way back, and he said this in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." And this is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. "My people have committed these two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." That's who the Lord is. "And hewed them out cisterns." Broken cisterns. A cistern is a container that would hold, a reservoir that would hold a particular amount of water. He says, "They've chosen a cistern instead of a fountain of living waters, and not only just a cistern, but a broken cistern that can hold no water." He said, "My people had two opportunities. They had two choices. They had the fountain of living waters, and they had an old broken cistern. And they took that old broken reservoir that couldn't even hold water anymore, and they said, we'll take that." How sad that they made that decision. How about us, folks, as far as that thought goes? What things could have been ours had we been more mindful of what he wanted to do in us? Think about some of the things that he may have wanted to do in our lives. He would have wanted to give us a peace that passeth understanding, and yet many times we digged in our heels and we determined we would go our own way. We're going to do what we think is right. And we might not have been as vocal as that, but it might have just been in the heart. But we chose to do our own thing. And you know what we ended up reaping as a result? We ended up reaping heartache and disappointment and discouragement instead of a peace that passeth understanding. How many of you can relate to that? I can relate to that at times when I just determined I was going to do my own thing. Maybe it was a better relationships that we could have had with certain individuals, but we forfeited that because we chose to do our own thing. And a lot of that just went by the wayside because we didn't really look unto the Lord. We had our own thoughts and things. Maybe just being in a better position, period. Maybe that's where the Lord wanted us to be, but we had our own thoughts on the matter. I'm sure every one of us, to some degree, we can relate to that. So what does he say next? Well, because they didn't respond, he says right at the end of verse 42, but now they are hid from thine eyes. They're hid from your eyes because you've become blinded because of the decisions that you've made. You know, that thought scares me, folks. That thought scares me. How much that are we blinded to the things in this life because of our own belief or because of apathy or maybe because of just overindulgence? You know, we have sometimes had so much. We have everything that we want, folks, and sometimes that's our undoing. I mean, really, it's Taco Tuesday every day for this guy. I mean, really, you know what? Within reason, we can't probably just go out and get everything we want, but we as Americans, we live well. And we get to do so much that we just want to do. And if we want to go eat out, we usually can go eat out. I know it doesn't always work for everybody, but we can do so much in this life. And we've been so blessed as Americans that quite often we've lost our priorities. And we haven't kept the Lord where he should be. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. It's something like, if that shoe fits, then wear it. If that applies to you and I, because we've all done that, but maybe that's where you're at right now. And you've taken the Lord for granted. Well, the Jews did that so often. But folks, we've done it as well. Verses 43 and 44 says, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and encompass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So the Lord prophesies a great curse of destruction upon a people who've turned their backs on him. He said that you will certainly reap all that you've sowed. It'll come back upon you. And because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation, you were not even aware when the Lord was making those visits upon you. Again, we need to make application to ourselves. How often has the Lord just shown himself to us and we were so busy and we were so enamored with whatever it is that we were chasing, we didn't really realize that was the Lord's visitation. The Lord was drawing close to draw me unto him, to show me his blessings. Well, the Lord was right there in their midst. And they didn't see it. How many times do we just are blinded to the fact that the Lord is right there? He's right there in our midst. He's right there, folks, every day. Every day in so many ways, he's there. We just have to be mindful of it. Lord, help me. Help me as I look in your word that you would show me some things, that I would see the Lord Jesus in every page. Would you reveal some things to me? But how about as we just go through life, help me to be mindful of all you've done for me, because we can just get so full of blessings that we no longer begin to continue to be grateful. Amen. It certainly can happen, and we've just got to stay on top of that. And then verse 47, it says, the very first part, and he taught daily in the temple. Then in these next few days leading up to his crucifixion, he takes the time to teach in the temple. Remember, this is this last week before he goes to that cross. To teach in the temple some very telling lessons. And he did so almost without fail in parables. Because it seemed in those parables that those who were not really willing to listen, they just weren't interested in finding. Well, what did you mean by that? It was always usually the disciples or maybe even a bigger group around that would come and say, Lord, what did you mean by that? Reveal those things. That's when God blesses. That's when God reveals things to us, is when we seek his face and say, Lord, would you help me? Give me understanding. And God blesses that. But if we just walk right past the blessings, we're going to be blinded as the Jews were. Let's take a look at one of those parables that he brought forth in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, In Matthew chapter 21, in verse 33, he says this. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. He will miserably destroy those wicked men. He no doubt speaks of the Jews, their rejection of God's messengers throughout the centuries. It's what the Jews did over and over again. And eventually their rejection when that son came, that's the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads us really to, unfortunately for them, but to a wonderful truth in all of this, and that God has set to the side the nation of Israel. He has set them to the side and has put his focus on the rest of the world. He has put the focus on the rest of the world. There in verse chapter 21 still, it's as you read the last part of verse 41, it says, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen. This is the gospel going unto the Gentiles. And the Gentiles open door. Now, this last point, as I go into this last point, the Gentiles open door. We saw the switch that took place in the book of Acts. In fact, this morning, part of my reading in my Bible reading, well, it just happened to be Acts chapter 13. And Acts chapter 13 is when Paul and Barnabas were sent out from by the church there at Jerusalem to go and be those first missionaries. And they went out, and of course they tried to reach the Jews. You know, Saul at that time, but Paul was always about, as he went in those synagogues, he wanted to reach his people for Christ. And it wasn't as if no Jew got saved, but as a whole, the Jews rejected him, and they rejected the gospel message. But he would continue. He loved his countrymen. He's a Jew. But ultimately, he realized, well, you count yourself unworthy of everlasting life. He said, lo, we go unto the Gentiles. This is where the Lord is heading, directing us to go. And that was, again, that was just in my reading. But we see that there in the book of Acts, that transition is made. And down through time, the gospel has come to you and I. Praise the Lord. What a great thing that is, that the gospel has come to you and I. And there in verses, back again, I'll just finish up those verses there in Matthew chapter 21, in verses 42 and 43, where it says, and Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. It's what Paul said in Romans chapter 11, and I'll just read verses 11 and 12. He says, when Paul spoke to the church at Rome, and he spoke about God's chosen people, and they are still God's chosen people, the Israelites. But they're blinded. You see what's happening to them now. That's why we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for God's people because ultimately they will turn to the Lord, but they're going through some rough times, and they have for a long time. But Paul said in Romans chapter 11, as he wrote to the church at Rome, which which was Gentiles. But now there were some Jews in that church, but it was a Gentile church. He says, I say then, have they stumbled? And he's speaking of the nation of Israel and the Jews. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. That's a provocation to the nation of Israel for the gospel to have been taken to the Gentiles. You see the reaction in the book of Acts. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Down the road, the Lord will fill Israel's cup. Because they're God's chosen people. We go through the millennium. They're the chosen nation. God bless the nation of Israel. But right now, their eyes have been blinded to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our brother the ghost administered to them. And, you know, we keep things under wrap. But he's got to kind of work a certain route, doesn't he? Because, you know, missionaries are not exactly embraced in that nation. Because they've rejected our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he hasn't stopped yet because this age of the Gentiles is not quite through yet. We still have a little ways to go, amen? I hope that'll end pretty soon, like maybe even today. I know we have some nice plans later this evening, but the Lord interrupting those plans wouldn't break my heart. We'd be all up in heaven with the Lord. So because his plans are not done yet with this Gentile bride, with this church, we need to be out telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look for opportunities to tell folks about Christ when we have that opportunity and to give out gospel tracts to tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us while we have the time. Amen. And we get out and we knock on doors and we look for other opportunities, a fair booth or whatever it might be, an Awana ministry and other ministries as well to try to get the gospel out, to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may we be involved in all of that and may we be faithful to do what he has called us to do. Because not too far down the road in time, what we've seen on that Palm Sunday in Scripture will take place at Jerusalem one day, and they will welcome their king. But it'll be at the end of an incredible period of time, that tribulation period of 7 years, with all of the destruction, the cataclysmic destruction that takes place, and Israel being hunted and hounded, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, just chasing them, And many of those Jews dying and destroyed, but God will come back and save a remnant of his people. And then they're going to look and say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But folks, look at our opportunities right now. The Lord, in his wisdom, he saw all of that take place. He knew that Israel would reject his son. He knew that they would reject their Messiah, and certainly they did. And so he's inserted this dispensation of time, this dispensation which is the church age, the age of grace. And we've had the opportunity to come to know Christ as our Savior, but there are others as well. And I've heard some of you say it, and I've heard it way back as an early believer, that when that last person finally gets saved, I don't think there's no other reason but that Gabriel's going to sound that trumpet. I mean, when that last person gets saved, wouldn't it be great if the last person is somebody that you get to lead to Christ? You didn't seem that excited about that opportunity. I think that would be neat to see somebody bow their head and trust Christ as their Savior, and then you hear the trumpet sound. And then we're all taken up, and that new believer as well. It kind of reminds me, you know, of course, they both didn't go, but after Philip had baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, and he comes up out of the water after he knew he had gotten saved. By the way, we've got a couple that'll be getting baptized in just a few weeks. They know that they already know that they've come to faith in Christ. And then when they come up, it says that the Spirit of the Lord took Philip and he was gone. And I'm sure the Ethiopian eunuch said, wow, that guy's pretty fast. He's gone. Well, Philip didn't go up to heaven. Philip went to continue to serve the Lord. But one of these days, the Lord's going to come for us. Now, I say to anybody here, you may be here without the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to make an assumption that all of you are saved. I hope that we're 100% here today. But maybe you're here today and maybe you made some kind of profession, but you know in your heart, I don't know that I ever really got saved. I don't know that I meant that from my heart. I don't know that, or I know full well I made that decision and I fully did not understand and I'm here today and I don't believe I'm saved. Well, that may be the case, and there may be missed more than one, but if you're here without Christ and you just know about him, that's not going to get you to heaven, because the Lord will look at you one day, and it's a chilling thought, but he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Won't those be horrible words to hear? So we want to know Christ, and he wants us to know him, and the way that we know him is when we receive his Son. When we receive his Son into our hearts, when we confess to him that we're sinners and that we deserve hell, but that he paid that price for us. He loved us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're here without Christ, knowing that you're a sinner, I hope that you would understand and know that, and believing that someone paid the price for you, because you and I could not pay that price. And that if we'll confess Christ, as Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 say, if we'll confess him with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, it says, if you'll trust Christ as your Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, I hope that you'll get that settled. And you'll make that where there's not even an ounce of doubt in your mind. But folks, may we take a look at our own personal lives. We take a look at the Jews and sometimes we scratch our heads and say, wow, I can't believe that they just totally rejected him. Well, listen, for those of us that know him, we haven't rejected him, certainly not. We've received him as our Savior, but sometimes in our Christian walk, we can become kind of numb, or we can become just, you know, taking things for granted. Or sometimes we say, you know, my Christian life just kind of has become mechanical or routine. Well, if it's become that, then this is a good time for us to just come before the Lord and to plead with him and say, Lord, please help me. I don't want to take things for granted. We live in this land of so much prosperity, and we have so much. It's so easy to get caught up in all of that. We all like to do, I love activities, and I love to get involved and play sports and do a lot of different, I like to go home and watch ESPN. There's a NCAA tournament right now, and, you know, I'm not necessarily even rooting for anybody. Maybe Gonzaga, because they're close. Okay. So listen, I love that. And you know what? But the problem is sometimes we can get immersed, so immersed in it that the Lord just goes back to second, third, fourth place in our lives. So I just say, be careful, because we can just have so much that we just consume and devour that we forget the Lord. And we become a bit like Israel as they rejected the Lord. Now, not that we're rejecting him, but you know what I'm saying as far as priority wise. So with that, I'm going to have you bow your heads right now. We started a little bit late. We're a little bit over time, but I appreciate your understanding on that. But just to the matter at hand, we think about what the Lord's people did unto him. They said initially, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And those palm branches came out and they waved them. But it was just shortly after that they rejected him. They thought as a king that he would do certain things, but go and die on a cross? Well, that's not what we planned. And they rejected their Messiah. But look what took place as a result. God brought the gospel over time to the Gentiles. And we came to know Christ as our Savior. What a wonderful thing it is that you and I have eternal life. We might die in this body, because this body's not going to live forever. But you know, we're going to go be with the Lord forever. And ultimately, we'll have that glorified body. We'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. We'll get to praise Him. We'll get to see Him face to face. That is amazing. And maybe the Lord has spoken to some hearts here today. He's certainly spoken to my heart so many times about where is He in your life? Are we putting Him first? Do we praise Him? Do we thank Him for all that He's done in our life on a continual basis? If He's spoken to your heart as a believer, then I hope maybe you might come, spend some time at the altar, and just talk to the Lord about it. If you're here without Christ, you've never trusted in Him as your Savior. And as I spoke about a few minutes ago, you've never truly trusted in Him, and you can be saved today. I encourage you to step out in the aisle and come up to the front. We'll have somebody here that can show you out of God's Word how you can be saved. Father, we come to You today. Thank You for this time of the year. Next week, it's Resurrection Sunday when You died on that cross and were buried and rose again from the grave. But we see in Your Word the previous week and what took place that week and the rejection that took place. Lord, help us as Your people, Lord, to be incredibly grateful always on a regular basis for what You have done for us, how the gospel was opened up unto us. We came to know You as our Savior. Lord, help us to pray for Israel on a regular basis. Lord, we know You're working in their hearts. And Lord, we pray that they'll turn to You. We pray that even during this time of the church age, that there'll be many Jews that will get saved. We pray for that. But help us, Lord, on a regular basis to keep our eyes on You. Thank You again for what You've done for us. We praise and we thank You for what a great God You are. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.